All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up, what up? How's everybody out there doing out there tonight, man? I'm your host, PDP Richardson. You live on Soul Radio, Soul Every Day with PDP. And I got somebody that's from my hometown. This dude, we went to the same high school. I actually looked up to him playing football and baseball. This dude got drafted right up out of high school by the San Diego Padres, which is a MLB, Major League Baseball team, if you guys that don't know what the MLB means. But to me, he actually was one of my favorite, if not the favorite, football player coming up out of high school. I used to get dressed up in eighth grade, and me and a couple of my friends, we would go to the Indian Bowl and go see him play along with J.D. Simmons and a few of the Macnacks there in Muskogee. And these guys was the epitome of football. And I want to say these guys made rougher football the best thing to watch. It was a whole citywide event, but I knew him prior to being on the Muskogee Roughers because we're kind of from the same hood, H-double-O-D, you know what I'm saying? I grew up in New Jack, right down the street from Charlie's store there in Muskogee, Oklahoma. He would come visit on 22nd Street, over there along to some of my good friends, the Cummings boys, man, and we all used to compete when he was little, but nobody could never keep up with John Coca Jr. So this guy, like I said, got drafted, but ended up going to Seminole State College, went to the Lafayette, Louisiana, Raging Cajuns, where these guys did great things there, and then he ended up joining the Army, and now he's doing great things in his life. So I want to welcome you guys, John Coca Jr. What's up, bro?
What's going on, bro? How y'all doing out there?
Hey, man, we got about 20,000 people listening to you right now, man, so don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous, bro. But yeah, that was a nice extensive intro. I love that, man. But yeah, from the hood, dude, 22nd Street. You was down in New Jack, man. When you said that, I wanted to die laughing in my chair. New Jack.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, man, because a lot of people look at you and us both, and they don't see the hood because the way we carry ourselves and the way we're good at sports and how I know you're a family man. You got a beautiful young daughter. You're carrying yourself well. You lived a great, wonderful life, and which is only the beginning. So a lot of people don't understand. You know, they think we kind of grew up privileged, in which we did, in a way. Don't get me wrong, you know, but a lot of people don't really understand the struggle and the passion that we have, in which that means, where did your passion come from, man? You always been fast to me. I've always trying to catch up with you. So coming up out of the streets of Muskogee, what was your attitude coming up out of there so you can make it out, man?
Man, I just thought to myself, I wasn't trying to let, you know, my surroundings, my environment define who I was. You know, I was blessed enough to have, you know, my dad, you know, kind of always in my ear and putting his foot up my tail whenever I got out of line. But, you know, my mom, she was there too. But at the same time, you know, I had a good support system. I had great friends that I just never wanted to let down. And, you know, like you said, we were like in the hood playing tackle man with the football, playing baseball, knocking out people's windows and stuff. So I was just the things we did, being ruthless kids, you know. I mean, we would play video games, whatnot, but for the most part, you know, we were always outside, you know, trying to better our game, and we just basically thrived off of each other. And so, you know, growing up, all the way up to I got into minor league baseball, even in the military, man, I just always wanted to push myself to be the best I could be for, you know, the people that I played against or people that I fought against, you know, and things like that. Sorry, I got, like, text messages going. I should have blocked all that crap. But yeah, that's for the most part, man. I just didn't want to let anyone down, man. And I just didn't want to let my surroundings define who I was as a man. You know what I mean? So
I know that's right, man. I know you. Whenever I was a senior in high school playing up under Mac Chambers, who's the head coach of Seminole State Junior College right now, and he would invite you to come speak to us because throughout the season while you were playing, you would come back and train. And and whenever you would speak to us, you will always say, reboot back to your training. Reboot back to your training. Don't let all of that training that you put in go, like, be nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so easy to whenever you put in all of that training, then whether if you're in high school, whether if you're in college, whether you're playing professionally, it's so easy to kind of give up. So whenever you think you was like, whenever you think about giving up, rebuke back to your training. So, but we're going to get into that. I want to let the people know about the John Coker that I know. You graduated in Muskogee High School, 2001. You guys had a squad back then. And like I was telling you guys how we would dress up and go and watch these guys play at the Indian Bowl. Man, let us know how y'all work ethic was. Because you had J.D. Simmons, track champion. Then you had you, got drafted, great athlete on the football field, man. Hey, let us know how y'all attitude was to be great in high school when y'all could have pretty much done anything y'all wanted back then.
Well, you know, just like you said that, you know, you guys kind of like would get dressed out and come see us play. Well, you know what? We did the same thing. We had the Joy Ballards, you know, Byron Crushfield, Jeremy Walker, stuff like that, Marcus Chaplins, you know what I'm saying? So we would do the same thing. So therefore, we tried to mimic our game after them, you know. Seth Luttrell too. Yeah, I forgot about him. He's in there, you know, Dan Jefferson. But then, you know, the list goes on and on. Muskogee has always had, like, great athletes, you know. But, you know, like, in the locker room, whatnot, just the camaraderie, bro. Like, just looking at each other's eyes. And then, you know, Arthur Matnack, he getting the crowd. Not the crowd. He getting the team hyped, you know, with some old Master Keys, things like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we didn't have the smoke and the dog and stuff. We had a piece of paper that we had to run through at times, you know. But, I mean, we made it work, you know. We were kind of, I mean, we wasn't poor, but you know how Muskogee was, bro. I mean, I know the people out there listening don't really know, but we made it work, you know. We made use of what we had, and we put it to work. But we just basically, we took it out there on the field and practice every day. I'm talking about slobber knocking. I mean, we was putting feet to the moon in practice. You know what I mean? It was none of this run up and touch you and, oh, you can't hit here, you can't hit there. Hey, if you was a quarterback, it didn't matter, second, first string. You was getting your head knocked off, you know, because that's the way it's going to be in the game. You know what I mean? So we practiced like we played, you know. Just unfortunately, like, our season didn't go the way we wanted it to. But, I mean, dude, practice was just as enjoyable as game for us, you know. And then when, you know, you get under Friday Night Lights, you just turn it on, man. Playing in that 4-inch thick Bermuda grass, you know. Not the lovely AstroTurf, you know, so.
Yeah, when we got up there, you know, we had turf, you know. Shout out to Coach Lancaster, Coach Hennessy. Then, man, too bad you guys didn't get to play for him. But anyways, who was your high school coach? It wasn't Jefferson, was it? Because that was Joy Ballard now.
Who was our high school coach?
Your coach was Peterson. Was it Peterson?
Dude, Tony Peters. Tony Peters, man. He went to OU. Championship there. He went to the Washington Redskins, won a national championship. I mean, not a championship, but he won a Super Bowl there. You know, so Tony Peters had a history, you know. But I remember, you know, if you didn't get things right, that dude would, like, knock you out or tackle you right there in practice. Like, he didn't care, you know. So, yeah, Tony Peters, he was the lead man. We had Roy Patterson, Coach Patterson. I don't know if you remember him. We had Coach Hughes.
I do.
You know,
Coach Hughes, man. He coached us too. Coach Hall, yes.
Yeah, Coach Hughes is about to be drawing retirement as long as he's been coaching at Muskogee or whatever. Dude's been in the game. He was like track, football, baseball.
Basketball, whenever I got up there, yes.
Yeah,
man. So like you said, man, Muskogee always has some pretty good coaches. I got a lot of young people that listen to my show, and one of the key words you said, you had some good friends to help you, you know, keep you out of trouble. So let the people know when it comes to having good friends. Coming out of Muskogee, man, for the guys that don't know, Muskogee is like Chicago, New York, all the other black cities that you can think of. but don't nobody know about, and which have great athletes and a lot of temptation and a lot of drugs. So when you meet somebody who you feel like is on the same level as you and as a friendship and want to make their life better, there are certain people like Coker who takes that into consideration and continues to grow with those people and not buttle down with, I will say, you know, like the crabs in the bucket type of people. So whenever you will meet somebody, whenever you was younger, let us know how did that friendship work. And was it just something like sports or with school, academics, that helped you guys keep that friendship?
Wow, that's getting deep with it. But a lot of times it did start off with sports, you know. I would walk the neighborhood, see kids playing basketball, and I would just sit there and say, can I play? You know, and, I mean, that's how things kind of started with the Reeds, you know, Kevin Reed, Jamel Reed, they all stayed around the corner. Mm-hmm. Eddie Ray Maxwell, I saw them all, like, playing tackle the man with the football, and I just wanted to play. And then, like, next thing you know, it turned into, like, that was the little game. We'd get everybody else, get everybody together in the neighborhood and play tackle the man with the football and stuff like that. But not only that, man, like, I would tell the young people, like, you know, surround yourself with positive people. You know, it's easy to get caught up in your environment. Yeah, I know, you know, and I don't condone it, but if that's what you do, hey. But I know slanging and this and all that fast money, I know it looks good, but, man, fast money goes fast. You know what I mean? So invest in your life, you know, invest in your future. Surround yourself with good people, man. I've always, like I told you, I was blessed by the people that God bestowed in my life, man. And, you know, I mean, just a bunch of good dudes. And then, like, look at us, man. We all went to college, you know. We came from bad neighborhoods, but we all went to college, you know. Not everyone graduated, but we still got up out of the hood and we made something of ourselves, you know. We could have easily reverted back to what we saw growing up on the street corners, you know. I mean, I can't take any – how many – crackheads, I don't know if I can say that on there, but how many of those we saw walking, just like walking zombies around Muskogee, or somebody's
like talking to themselves, or while we're playing, yeah. Too, while we're
just strung out, you know. So I'm just like, man, like that is, I don't know, that's so insane.
It's mind blowing.
It is. It really is, you know. But you know, I just tell the young ones, man, like, do not let your environment define you. Like, if you want it, go get it, man. Like, put the work in. It's an investment. You got to put the work in and hold yourself accountable. You hold yourself accountable and you do those things, and, you know, the loyalty with your friends and all that, that'll fall into play. Because if you're doing your thing, then they may see that, and they're like, man, I'm going to jump on that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to let him down. So then you're going to better their game. Then you feed off of each other. You know what I mean? You go back and forth.
Exactly.
You're pushing him, he's pushing you, and, man, that's just how you get there. And, you know, you maybe get blessed, get drafted, or go pro, play NFL, whatever that may be, you know. But in life, that's what it's all about, competing. And you got to go out and compete, and if you want it, you go get it. You know what I mean? Like, you always keep God first. Always. You let that man out of your
man.
If you let that man out of your circle, you done. You know,
yes,
I mean, he's not
yes.
He's not going to leave your side, but I'm just saying, you know, if you want to keep
he
going
might
up,
take his stop. Hands off of you.
Yeah, exactly, bro. But you know,
yeah, man. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just thankful, man. Just thankful and blessed. Even in the military, it was the same way, you know. You know, things over there. Everything run its course, but, like, even when we was in firefights, like, you know, you look to the man to the right, and you know that he's got your back. So that's sort of how I was in the hood and growing up with friends on the football field, baseball field. You look to the man to the left and to the right, you know they got your back, you know. It's so cliche, you know, life and death, but, hey, that's what it was, man. And I would step in the front line and take a bullet for any one of my friends. you know, pun intended. I sort of did.
Yeah.
That, but you know, it is what it is, you know. It is what
it is.
And
that's just who you are. That's just who you are, and knowing you from the jump, early on in your life. And I was reading up on whenever you was playing at Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, man. They say you would dedicate your body, dedicate your soul to them, you know. And as reading that, I would be like, yep, that's Coker right there, you know. And that's how you got a lot of people believing in you. And getting drafted is an investment, and that's how you get drafted. And not only getting drafted, but getting a college scholarship, that's an investment. You know, that's something that us as somebody growing up from the hood, something that we grow up and be like, I need to get a scholarship. I want to get a scholarship. Not only that I need and I want, that I'm going to get a scholarship. And as you get older, you realize that's nothing but an investment in somebody investing in you and bringing you to school, to you to do a J-O-B, in which they already know that you're going to get the job done, and in the same time as going to the Army and becoming a sergeant. But we're going to get into that in a minute. And we're going to talk about how you got drafted out of high school, and what a lot of people want to know, why didn't you go to the Padres when you got drafted in 2001?
Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I didn't even know that I was drafted. I was back there on Yahoo chat talking to some
ASL.
Yeah, I was back there chatting, and I don't remember my pops. He came in and he was yelling, hey boy, you know. So I'm sitting there like, oh crap, what'd I do wrong? And I was like, dang it, I didn't cut the yard, you know. So he's mad at me. So I popped up. I was like, I'm on it, I'm about to go cut the yard. And he was like, no, did you see the paper? And I was like, no, I didn't. And he showed it, and it was like a picture of me, and it was like, gets drafted. And I was just kind of like, wow. You know, I remember Coach Chambers telling me, but I didn't really, like, believe it, you know. And then at the time, I still didn't believe it. Whenever that was, like, over, you know, I was getting phone calls and things like that. And then I drove to see my mom to tell her the news. And I remember going back on 22nd Street, and people were coming out on their front porch clapping. And I'm like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Like I haven't left yet. You know what I mean? So, and I already had family, man, saying, hey, I just want this. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I haven't even signed a contract, you know. But, you know, 37th round, it's a decent round. You know what I mean? But as far as figures, mm-hmm. I didn't know any of the figures or, you know, behind things. My dad was doing a lot of that. And so I just know one thing, that I never wanted to let my mom down. You know, she always preached, like, you know, go to college, you know. And so I had the opportunity mm-hmm. to either go get drafted, to go play pro ball, or, you know, go to college, which I could always came back and done, you know. So
right.
I decided to take a trip up to Seminole, right? And, you know, man, things were sounding great. And, you know, I wouldn't call them little birdies. I would call them mentors, you know, said, hey, if you come here, you know, they can do a draft and follow. You come here, play a year, then that can bump you up from a 37th rounder to probably a 20th rounder. You see what I'm saying? So now I'm like, okay, I like the sound of that, you know. So then at the same time, here I am, an 18-year-old kid. I got to make a decision. You know, if I wanted to continue to play football, or if I wanted to play baseball, you know, because the chances of playing both are slim, very slim. You know what I mean? I mean, it can happen.
Yeah. And what you were saying to me off of the air, right before we got on the air, you were recruited by OU, OSU, the Naval Academy, Columbia, and you were recruited Vanderbilt, you know.
Case
and fit. So you had some decisions to make.
Yeah,
K-State, Central Arkansas, OU, KU, Trinity, like you had Tulsa, you know, so you had to really make a decision. And so you basically just at the end of the day just chose baseball?
I prayed, bro. I prayed. I sat on it for 2 or 3 days, you know, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And, you know, I started thinking about things, and something was just like, man, baseball would take me further. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to make that decision. But, you know, once you make that decision, you got to stick with it. You know, you got to stick to your guns. And so I was like, all right, baseball it is, you know. Because, you know, football, the way it was, you know, they –
and for the people who's listening, yeah, and it was Kewon Jones was one of the big prospects that came out that year.
Yeah.
For the people that's listening, and Kewon Jones got his spot taken by Adrian Peterson. And for the people that's out there, that's different. But Coker was up there too, as well. To me, better than Kewon. I saw them both, but I just need to let the listeners know. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you was coming out, the athletic talent though. But my bad. Keep going, bro.
That's all good. But yeah, you know, going back on making that decision, I've said my prayers and everything. I decided, like, oh, you know what? I want to make my mom proud. I need to take care of my body. You know, not that football was, you know, I got hurt more in baseball than I did football. But, you know, football, I just loved it. You know, that was my wife. You know, football was my wife. Baseball was my girlfriend. She was just, like, good to me. I'm sorry. I know that's probably,
uh-oh,
I can't say that on air. But anyway.
Yeah. So you went with your girlfriend and not your wife.
Yeah. And so that's what I stuck with, bro. And I didn't look back, and I went into it, you know, full steam. But then I played summer baseball, and I broke my wrist, you know. So that caused issues with the draft, you know. So it was a good thing that I chose to go that route to go to college and get my degree. Because if the young listeners listening right now, but y'all don't realize, man, like, I graduated. I got two degrees, and I didn't owe a single dime. Baseball paid for all of that. Not only that, you know, I had an academic scholarship too. So you got to keep your head in your books too, bro. Like, sports will get you those diplomas, those plaques, whatever, but also keep your head in your books, you know. Because I'm telling you, that was a blessing in itself, you know. But once I got drafted, I know I'm jumping around because, man, I could talk for days. Everybody knows that. But once I got drafted, the money thing was not an issue. I knew that if I had kept playing, because the thing about JUCO, you can get drafted after your freshman year and your sophomore year. But if you go to a Division I college, you can't get drafted again until you're 21 or a junior. So that was another reason why I chose to go JUCO, you know, because I'm going to tell you, Baylor came at me too for baseball. And I remember when I told Coach Simmons, you guys Google Coach Lloyd Z. Simmons and you will know about that guy. But I remember telling him that Baylor has sent me a letter of intent for baseball overnight, man. They wanted
a scholarship.
Right away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you better not go. But he said some other words. He's like, you better not go to Baylor, bro, you know. So, again, I was like, uh-oh, okay, coach, I won't go, you know. He's like, John Coker, here's what you're going to do. You're going to pack your bags, and you're just going to come here, point blank. Yes, sir.
Which is a recruiting tactic. Mm-hmm.
Enough said, coach. And, man, I went to Seminole. I grew up as a man. I learned a lot about the game. I became a student of the game. And I do not regret it. I love the brothers, the brotherhood that I made down there. Like, dude, 9-5s, if those don't know about morning weights, all my Trojan brothers, they know about it. Like, I'm telling you, the brotherhood down there is just amazing. Now, I kind of kicked myself in the butt.
Yeah,
I don't get
I
back
you,
there as much as I need to, but I'm going to start going back down there and, you know, reconnect with all my brothers. I need to. You know what I mean?
Man, you know what? I think you should, man, because I was the same way about Texas Tech, coming to Texas Tech, man. After I was done here, I was just like, man, you know, forget Lubbock, forget Texas Tech, not as in a negative way, but I was just so eager to go on with my life because, you know, you put so much hard work, sweat, and tears into your passion, and you'd be like, you know what, I can't live there because, you know, so many other people that just live in that same place and they just don't further their self. So, but, I met that coach you're talking about, and I also, his name is Coach Cummins now, we all know him as Tyrell or Chubb, you know, I visited him, and actually, I believe his name, he was there with Evan Gattis, you know, who just won a World Series with the Houston Astros, and he played there with Coach Tyrell, and I remember, and I was like, This is it. I said, I see why they put so much in baseball. You know what I mean? But I really think now, man, I think they can use you. You ain't thought about coaching?
Well, that's something that's in the making. Tyrell Cummings, but Tyrell Heights, him and I, you know, are thinking about getting a team around here in the city. And, you know, perhaps even football. You know what I mean? So,
Tyrell Heights. Okay.
Yeah. So we're thinking about getting a little baseball squad, and you know, Tyson Reed. You know, he's mentioned wanting to get on and coach with us. We've even been speaking of even getting a football team. You know, so
okay, hey man, y'all.
That's how
Tyrell Heights
how
is good.
That's how I need to get my foot in the door, is with the youngins and dealing with parents, because I know that the way we were brought up in coaching, man, coaches can get in your tail, and it was okay. But now I hear things are like the parents get involved, and, oh, you can't say that. Everybody gets a trophy. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. That's not the way life is. Everybody doesn't get a trophy. It's first, second, and third. I'm sorry. If you didn't want to work hard enough to get first place, then I'm sorry. But that's my mentality on things. It's old school. And I need to transform that to probably be able to confide in parents, confide in these kids, and be a little softer. Maybe that's what God wants me to do.
Nah, you good. Don't change up, man. I believe he was a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think he ended up being a New England Patriot. But James Harrison, it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And his kids didn't win a championship, but they got participation trophies. And he made it a big deal on social media and the internet to say, no, I'm taking these trophies back. You know?
I mean, I remember I've always really had first and second place. I got third only because of it was in a track meet. I had to run against Contrell Harris and David Edwards, and they beat me. I was mad, and I got a third place medal. Man, I chunked that sucker. I was like, I don't come in third. You know what I mean?
I know that's right.
That was the only thing I had. You know, I mean, even Paul Young football. I was with the Browns in third grade. We got, like, I believe,
okay.
Second. Yeah.
I didn't know you were for the Browns.
Yeah, third grade I was with the Browns. And then, and you know, if Arthur and them is listening, they'll tell you that I was a traitor, but whatever. So I went and played with the Dolphins, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. P.J. Anderson, you know, Ike Alexander, all them. And we won first place.
Yeah, you traded.
For 3 years
traded.
Straight. So.
Yeah, you straight up traded, bro.
Because
I played for the Browns, and we ended up changing our name to the Packers. You know, and I remember you being on the Dolphins, man. I was like, man, we from the hood. We from the same hood, but you jumped ship, man.
Well, no, I started living with my dad. That's what a lot of people don't understand. And then my dad, he was coaching with the Dolphins, so it was just easier to get the practice and whatnot, you know. And so that's
right.
Because I mean, I don't know if y'all ever noticed, like I would come back in the hood, but then I wasn't like there overnight because I started living with my dad. And
yeah, you
mom,
would dip.
You know,
which is all good. And that's where me and you got the same story that a lot of people don't know about too, because, you know, I moved out of the hood too as well. And I moved in with my dad, but my dad moved in Wagner. But just so happened, whenever I was in Wagner, that's whenever I was in high school, and that's what saved me, is because I was no longer a New Jack on 21st or 22nd. You know, I would come to school. Well, actually, my father, he got it cool with the superintendent and with Muskogee to be like, yo, he can live in Wagner and come to Muskogee. So I would go to school to Muskogee. I would be there before the janitors got there. And waiting for everybody to come to school, you know, and then I would stay at Chubby's until, like, I would go to school, go to practice, go to Chubby's, and stay there till midnight till my dad got off, because he worked at Just Done, and then I would go home at, like, 12:30 in the morning and be back in Muskogee at, like, 6:30. So it was kind of similar to your story, because, like you said, you would go there, but you wouldn't stay the night. You know what I'm saying? So, which was crazy. But after you leave in Muskogee, getting drafted, deciding to go to Seminole, and then you went to Louisiana last year. Yeah, you guys had a wonderful season. Let us know about that.
The Raising Cajuns, man. I think, okay, so when I got there, Coach was kind of like, he was trying out this new thing. He took a lot of JUCO, and he was JUCO transfers. That's something like I don't think they'd done in like a long time. And so a lot of these JUCO transfers that came in, I played against at Seminole. So now here it is. We were trying to kill each other in JUCO, and now we're on the same team, you know. And so, you know, the first season was a little bit rocky. I think we went 35-25, you know. It was we started feeling each other out. But my senior season, man, telling you, we were 48-19. We were ranked 13th in the nation. Like, bro, we started off the season the hottest team in the nation. I think at the time we were like 20-0 in the nation when we first started off. Like,
oh wow,
man, we was putting a hurt on some bros, man. Like, I think we played Michigan. We beat them 33-3. I mean, we was putting up football scores on people, man. You know, so I'm telling you, there was times I scored 4 or 5 times in a game. I'm like, bro, like, this is crazy. I mean,
that's not normal.
And then let me tell you, the culture down there was a culture shock. The food, the people, I mean, it's just like that Southern comfort. It was all there. Like, they just welcomed me in, you know. A lot of people was like, oh, well, how did it feel, you know, being the only black on the team? I said, bro, I didn't even see race, you know. At the end of the day, it's about being on that diamond, and that's what it's all about. Now, I do hate that the field wasn't large enough, because I kept running into the wall. I put so many dents in that wall, man, like, not just there. I ran into brick walls, like, knocked myself out. But, hey, guess what? I still caught the ball, you know. So that was one thing. They're like, man, you don't care. You don't slow down. I'm like, no, because it's all about catching that ball, man. It's all about sacrificing yourself for that pitcher, because at any given moment, we all know that pitcher can, the very next pitch, what can he do? Throw his arm out, you know. So if you can save him the pitch, keep the pitch count low, and if that ball is in the park, hey, I'm catching it. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Now, my first season there, I didn't play too well. I kind of call it my sophomore season, because what little do people know is that what they don't know, that's what I'm going to say, is that my freshman year at Seminole, I didn't play. And you can ask any guy there that I played with. I hit home runs with one arm there, because my right arm was in a cast. I didn't play my first year.
So you said you hit home runs with one arm?
Yeah. You can ask him. You can go to my Facebook page and you can see the guys comment on it. Like, we was inter squad, and I just sit there, boom, home run. And then we got to the point where we would take batting practice, like we're going to play other teams and stuff, and I would have my lead arm, and Coach Myers, you know, rest in peace, he would say, Coker, I need you to get up there and hit. And so I get up there, and I'm hitting with one arm, like smacking him to the wall with one arm. And he'll tell coaches, I remember he told one coach, made me smile, dude. You know me. I'm teasing, like, from ear to ear.
Uh-huh.
He's like, this is my guy that y'all don't know about, and he'll be playing next year. And they were just like, I remember the coaches at Crowder, they were like looking like, okay, you know. And, man, sophomore season came along, which was basically my freshman season, you know, got with Chucky Caulfield, all those brothers, Jonathan Tackett, and bro, we averaged, dude, our team batting average was 387. 387 for the year. Everybody.
What?
Yes, that was our team batting average. And then Coach Myers said, okay, everybody's going to switch it. So from one hole to nine hole, we all switch it. Like, that was it. So we became switch hitters. And so on the left side, I hit like 392. On the right side, I hit 417. You see what I'm saying? So
okay. I didn't know you were a switch.
I wasn't until I got to Seminole. He was like, you're going to switch it. And I was like, okay. So you start practicing. You know what I mean? So then once I got to Lafayette, that's basically, you know, my sophomore season, and I didn't have a great season. I hit like, bro, I'm telling you, it was doo-doo. It was like 260. Like, I don't think I've ever hit 260 in my life. I was great at defense. I was still a, you know, a threat to be reckoned with on the base pads. But when it came to my stick, it just wasn't clicking. And I was so frustrated. So I had the opportunity to go and play at a summer league in the Northeast for the New Jersey Swamp Bats. Like, it would have been a great summer league, you know, up there by the Cape Cod, whatnot, and that's like a strategic baseball, summer baseball for college players and stuff, heading into the pros. But I said, you know what? No, I'm not going up there to do that. I'm going to stay here in Lafayette. I'm going to take extra classes so I can graduate early, and I'm going to work on my game. And that's exactly what I did. I got my mind back into training like when I was a kid. I started hitting a tree with a pole. I had to find me a tree in Lafayette. But when I was a kid, bro, my dad used to take me down the country road, and he'd give me this pole, and he'd tell me to hit the tree. And I'm like, what? So I sit there, and I would hit a tree and broke it. And so that's what I started doing. I reverted back to my training. You know, I started pulling tires again. You know, I started lifting weights again. I just got back into me. And I was like, you know what? When I go into my senior season, I'm gonna turn some heads. You know what I mean? Because people are like, I mean, he's got all this speed, but what's the point of it if he can't get on base? You know what I mean? So I took my batting average from like that low 260, you know, all the way up to, I finished the season at like 329, 330. I still got the record down there, most triples in a season, most runs in a season, you know. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not all about the record books, man. It's about the fun I had, you know. I had a great season. We had a great team. It just fell short whenever we got to Tulane. And we were playing against Alabama, and we got beat. And see, that was another thing. I was recruited by Alabama from Seminole, but I didn't go.
Why not?
Yeah. Why? Okay. Baseball, we all know, football's the same way. You know, all sports the same way. But baseball is a business. And the coach straight up told me, he said, hey, I got my left fielder who could possibly get drafted this year. Right now I can offer you 60%. If he gets drafted, then I can probably offer you 65 to 70%. And I remember sitting in the office, Coach Myers is there, you know, Coach Childers is there. And I'm talking to the guy, and I was like, well, let me think about it. You know, Hawaii even offered me a scholarship. Baylor came back at me. And A&M, Texas A&M. And so I was sitting there just kind of like thinking, like, man, where do I want to go? Finally, Lafayette came along, and I was just like, you know, I never even heard of them. You know what I mean? Raging Cajuns.
Right.
But here it is that this guy, we were playing out in Arizona, and everybody knows about Seminole in Arizona. When we go out there, we just, like, we're ruthless, dude. We get into fights, get kicked out of Arizona, all the above. And I was like, this guy, he every game, like, if we were in Arizona, he flew out there. He was like, hey, John, how's it going? I was like, how you doing? He's like, I'm John Shell, University of Louisiana Lafayette. And I'm like, dang, dude, you flew all the way out here just to meet me? And then we were playing, like, somewhere in Kansas, Crowley County. I think that's who they call. And he came up to Kansas. Hey, John, this is John Shep. And I'm like, man, they must really want me. So I took a trip down there. And when I took this trip, I didn't even see them play because I fell asleep in the locker room the entire game. And the reason being.
Like that.
Well, because we had played Connors, right? And you know we didn't like Connors.
Y'all didn't
we'd
like
run
yeah, that's a big rival.
Bro. Yeah. Run Rude Connors, you know, both games. Just boom, put them out their misery. Then we turned around. Of course, you know, we sipped a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. Then I had to catch a flight early that morning. I had to catch a flight early that morning and go to Lafayette. And I flew there. And they had a game that day. It was a noon game. Bro, I was still tired from the night before. So I sat in the locker room, and I was, like, listening to the music, watching the players. You know, I had a big old comfy couch. And I fell asleep during the entire game. Yeah, I didn't even watch them. Then I came back. Well, the coach, he was like, I want to offer you 87%. Now, 87% is sounding far better than 60, 65, 60, 70.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, how can we get that up to another 13 to where it's a full ride? And he was like, well, there's, you know, that's where academics came in. So then they looked at my academic scholarship and everything. And because I, at the time I had a 3.4 GPA, they were like, yeah, that'll work. That'll work, you know? So boom, that's how I made my decision. To go to Lafayette, you know. Like I said, I didn't know anything about the school. It was just a risk, and they offered me more money. When I say money, kids, I'm talking about as far as, like, more to go to school, to where less was coming out of my pocket, not that I was getting paid in college. Let's put that out there on the record. I wasn't getting paid to play in college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any NCAA, like, people trying to investigate. But anyway. So that's how I made my decision to go to Lafayette, and it was a risk. I wanted to continue to play baseball, the game that I loved, and my senior year, which was my junior season, man, it took off. So then after Lafayette was done, now I had tryouts with the Cincinnati Reds. I think I went to the Baltimore Orioles. So now I'm trying to get seen because it was just pretty bizarre how I had an outstanding season, and no one came at me, bro. I'm telling you, no one. And it was
disheartening right there.
And we could not figure it out. I was just kind of like, man, I made the 2005 All-Regional team. You know, I had led the conference in this, led the conference in that. You know, was second in the team with hits, you know what I mean? I was just trying to figure everything out. So then I started making excuses for myself. I started saying, well, maybe it's because I'm too short. Because every time there was someone that came up to me, they were like, man, you play bigger than you are. And I was like, well, what is that supposed to mean? You know what I mean? You know, all my life, I never really let my size affect my game. But at this point in time, it seemed like that was a factor. So I knew I had 1 year of eligibility left in football, so you know what I did? I started working out with the football team. And I was going...
Hey, I don't blame you.
I was doing two-a-days, and I was already, I kid you not, PDP, I was already on the first-string roster as running back. Already. Like,
oh,
hadn't
wow.
played since high school. But they saw my hands, mm-hmm. they saw my speed, they saw this, they saw my jukes, like, it all came back. And so I was working out with the football team. We were doing two-a-days, and I remember coming in, and I got a phone call from an independent baseball team, and it was actually the Flowers. I remember the guy. He was with the Cincinnati Reds. He called me, and he was like, "Hey, Mr. Coker, you still want to play baseball?" And I said, "I sure do." And he was like, "Well, I need you on a flight today because I need you in Indiana.
Wow.
I need you in Indiana by tomorrow morning."
I need you on a flight today. Were they gonna pay for it?
Yeah, they reimbursed. I mean, I paid for it, but once I got there, they reimbursed. So I was just like, I'm like, man, what should I do? And I didn't have a car, you know, in Louisiana. I didn't have a car. I rode a bike everywhere. So I was just like, you know what? I bounced. I bounced. I was like, this is a gut wrenching decision, but I bounced and I left my wife again to my girlfriend.
talking about his actual wife, okay? He's talking about sports. You got
sports. So once again, I left and I went and played. I got up to Indiana. I remember I took hitting practice. I was still kind of tired, you know, because I'd, you know, been in football practice all that morning. And he was like, "All right, well, we got a game tonight, and you're playing." I was like, "Dang, like, just like that?" Like, yeah. So I was like, "Okay, this is what it is." So I went in there. We signed a contract, and it wasn't a lot of money, but it was the fact that I was able to continue to play and possibly, you know, with the hopes of getting seen by an affiliation. And so that was the goal. And I ended up getting a hit that night. And I played my first hit came against a former Muskogean, which goes by the name of Nick Saunders. That's Zach Saunders' brother, and he was playing third base, and I did not even know it till I got my hit. I stole second, stole third, and he was like, "What's up, Coker?" And I was just kind of like, "Who knows me by that?" You know what I mean? Like,
right? Like, I bet you haven't heard that in a minute.
No, and I looked up and I was like, "Nick?" And he was like, "What's up, bro?" And it was just crazy. And, like, the game is still going on, but I gave him dap and gave him a hug because I was like
so
bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was good stuff, man. And, you know, the season progressed, and we weren't doing that well. And I told him, I was like, "Hey, because, you know, I got to get my education." I was like, "Hey, I'm, like, you know, 8 credits shy of graduating this fall. And I would really like to go back and finish my degree." And they were like, "Okay." And they let me go back. And, man, I finished my degree. Because that was the goal, man. If I started it, I was going to finish it. 8 credits shy of a bachelor's. I went for it, bro. And I got my bachelor's in science. You know? So I know that was like a long spill of Lafayette. But, like, you know, a lot of spinoff. But that's basically all that. As far as sports with me in a nutshell. And then once that was done, that career was over. Of course, some people know I went overseas and played in Europe, and I played there for a year. And then at some point in time, bro, I just got tired. Here I was, 25, 26 years old. I felt, you know, I started feeling like now I'm being used, because, like, they would bring in these 18, 19-year-old kids, and they would have me race them. They didn't beat me, but they would have me race them in order to get their 60 time up. Because at that time, at that time I was running a 6.260.
You was running a 6.260.
Telling you, I was. I don't
25.
Know, I was flying 6.260, and it wasn't just one time. I did it consistently. 6.2. I was just like,
wow.
Dang. Like, I was in peak shape. Like, yeah.
You should. So you probably should have played football, bro.
I mean,
reason why I say that, man, because you another Darren, you could have been another Darian Sproles. You know what I'm saying?
That's what people have said. You know, like, man, you should go back out and play football, man. Forget baseball. Just go. And I'm like, man, I'm 26 years old. It's like, just go try out. Just go. I'm like,
yeah. But you weren't having that. But I feel you though. But and then you were known as I'm sure after a few years as Sergeant John Coker Jr. So what made you join the Army?
Well, I knew it was something I wanted to do at some point in my life. I just didn't know when. And it was, yeah, I was 26. I was in Muskogee. I tried to use my degree to get on, like, in Muskogee Regional Hospital, you know, things like that. Man, everyone was looking for experience. They didn't want the diploma, the degree. They wanted experience, and I didn't have experience because I've been playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so
couldn't get a
I
job.
So I started working three jobs. I was working the Buckle. I was working Georgia Pacific, which everybody knows about that place. And
making tissue.
And, yeah. And then I was also working at Chili's. And so basically I was at work all day, and it was great because I was making money, you know. But I just started thinking to myself, like, this is not my life. This is not going to be my life. I need to do something else. So I went to the recruiting office, and I went to the Marines. I went to the Navy.
Oh, okay.
And I thought to myself, like, no, I watched Titanic. I don't want to be on a boat, you know, sorry. I know it's not like that, but I was just thinking to him, I was like, no, that's not going to happen. Then the Air Force, you know, I was speaking with them, and they were talking about sending me overseas, and I was just like, you know what? I just want to go overseas only to fight. No, I'm sorry. It's not going to be the Air Force. So I got with the Army, and, man, talked a great game, because either branch I was going into, I would have came in as an officer because I have my degree. So I was like, okay, cool, you know, let's make that work. And on my way walking out of the Army's recruiting office, I got stopped by another Army guy who is actually National Guard. And he said,
oh, wow.
Okay, I can offer you the same thing plus a $20,000 signing bonus. And I went, what? He was like, yes. I said, you lying? No, I'm not lying. And I was just like, all right, where do I sign up? Where do I sign up? And, you know, it was the same thing. And so I went to Fort Benning, Georgia. That's where I did basic training at. I joined 11 Bravo. Those that don't know that, that's infantry, you know, 11 Bang Bang. And with the intent of being an officer. So when I was done, I went to air assault school when I was down at Benning. And when I came back, I was in OCPC, which is Officer Candidate Preparation Course. I was in that for an entire year, prepping to become an officer because I just wanted to lead soldiers. And so I got pulled from OCPC and sent to a line unit. And that's where I was, like, because my home station was in Muskogee, I got sent to Alpha Company 1279. Well, while I was there, you know, I'd started meeting a lot of my brothers in arms, and things were just weird because here it is. I was basically in a setting for the past year to where you're saying yes, sir, no, sir, and this and that, making way, and, like, you're doing all these things by the book, but then you get to your line unit. Everyone was, like, so relaxed, and, you know, it wasn't all stressful, as stressful as it was in OCPC. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, it is what it is. Then they told us that we were deploying. So, I mean, you get to
And what did you guys deploy
thing.
To?
We deployed to Paktia, which is in Afghanistan. It's Zormon province.
Mm.
And, yeah, that's a story that's like, we trained in Mississippi for 3 months. And then of course, you know about Camp Gruber. We were at Camp Gruber for a while, too. But when we went to Afghanistan, I think I was there for, like, let's see, June, July, yeah. And that's when we, man, we were just like, we were like fish in a pond, bro, in a barrel. And, I mean, we were just going down left and right. Friends getting killed, friends getting injured, you know. It was just like, it's part of war, you know, but it's just like, it's crazy that it's happening so close to home. It was just like,
right,
insane. You know, I think one of my buddies that I was in OCPC with, he ended up going off and became an officer, and he was there, and he was Second Lieutenant Jared Avey. And the night before we both left country and went to Afghanistan, we like hung out together here in the city. And so whenever I heard his name announced over the radio that he had passed from an IED, it kind of hit home, bro. I was like, man, this is real. You know, I just lost a friend of mine. And then all of a sudden, man, we just all start popping off left and right. I mean, we got in a lot of firefights now. Kid you not. It was fun. I know people think, like, what's fun about shooting and getting shot at?
Shooting. You're right.
You know.
I guess that's the hood in you. It came out in another way.
Yeah. But it was like this. We reverted back to our training. This is what we've trained for. We are the infantry. This is what we do. You know what I mean? So therefore, you know, you can only shoot so many paper targets and, you know, dummies downfield, you know. But, I mean, I'm not saying that I enjoyed hitting flesh, but it was either them or us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's
and, you know,
the way you look at
people like me, too. You know, and not only just me, you protected the United States.
Exactly. So you do it for the love of your country. You know, you do it for the love of your brothers. And then you also do it because the love of your family, because you want to get back home. You know what I mean? So you do what you got to do. You do certain things that you're not proud of, and it haunts you, but you survive. You know what I mean? We all didn't make it home, but the majority of us did, and so it's painful in its own sense, you know. And I talk about it. I'm not gonna do it over the air because the details. Some people don't like to hear this stuff, but like if you and I were like in person, I wouldn't mind showing you pictures. I wouldn't mind showing you my scars. I wouldn't mind talking about it, going in depth. And I also have video and pictures of us over there that you just really don't expose or show to the world because, you know, that's stuff that they really don't want to see. Like, go over there, do your job, but okay, you know. And I appreciate
it. Don't come back over here dwelling on it and stuff like that. Like, and showing people. Yeah, it's kind of like the athlete mentality. You know, you got two types of athletes. You know, you have the great athlete that that's great and trains hard and, you know, has that killer instinct. But in the real world, it's like, I don't even want to talk about that, you know. But then you got some other people that are brag about that, but them was probably the main ones hiding under a tree or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So when you really into it, you know what I'm saying? You like, nah, I'm cool talking about it.
I like the way you put that, even though there was no trees, but I like the way you put that, hiding. Yeah. Seriously, it was some of those guys, you know, like all like squared away, you know, we call them, you know, very hua, you know, like just your all-around soldier. Like, yeah, man, I'll deploy with that guy any day. Like, he knows his weaponry, he knows his nomenclature, he knows this, he knows that. Like, man, he is squared away. But when you get over there in the real and they start hearing, bro, I never seen so many dudes like lock up, urinate themselves, can't move. Like, they talk about fight and flight, but they never speak of the freeze, bro. And that was
of the freeze. Wow.
Yeah. And that not only happens in that, like, I mean, how many times do you hear people say, man, I just froze up? Like, that's I think that should be something that should be implemented in teaching fight or flight as well. The freeze. People just lock up, froze up. Like, hey, why didn't you swing the, you know, you're talking to someone that's playing baseball. Why didn't you swing the bat? Get the bat off your shoulder. Coach, I just lock up. Or, you know, how many times you've been up the bat and that pitcher throw a nasty, I'm talking about a nasty 12-6 curveball that just looked like it rolled off the table, you know?
Right. And you just stuck.
You just look at
and
it
and
like,
you know, it hit the mitt.
Yeah. And you like, dang.
It is strike three, you're out. You're like, dang.
I said, hit that. Like,
right.
I don't know what happened, coach. So I mean, it's part of our instincts as well, and yeah, there was no trees to hide under, but I mean I saw it, and you know those guys, we would just put on kitchen duty. Like, hey man, you need to stay back here at the FOB. You're gonna work in the kitchen. You're not going out because now you're alive.
Yeah, and
now you're alive.
Yeah, let y'all clean things up. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And you didn't want to put your own life in more risk than it was already because you have to go out there and protect them too. You know, but we're running that's all the airtime we got tonight, Mr. Coker, Sergeant Coker. And if you can leave the people with one thing, what would you leave them with tonight?
If I can leave them with one thing, I would say, you know, kiss your loved ones, man. Pray every night, because I mean you really never know when the day might be your last. I'm not trying to be like a downer or anything, but I'm just trying to like let people know, you know, like just hug your loved ones to the left and right, and kiss them, tell them how much you appreciate them. Not only that, tell your friends that too, because like I said, that's one thing that's stuck by my side is the support system that I've had. And it's kept me going, and I love y'all. Respect one another. Let's not be so hateful towards one another over what our president is doing. You know, let's not segregate.
Yeah.
Go back to old times. Like, if you're a Republican, I'm a Democrat, or vice versa. Hey, I still love you. You know what I mean? And I just see like the way times are folding right now. It's scary, and I hate it. I hate it. I really do. So that's all I can tell you guys. Really not much else to say, but love one another, and like I said, respect your family, and hug them and kiss them, you know, every night.
I'm taking already, man.
Don't take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. I'm telling you. Do not take it.
I know that's right, man. And that's coming from Sergeant John Coker Jr. right there, man. He's been in the trenches fighting for our country. So, man, really take in to what he says. Hug your loved ones. You never know when it's going to be your last day. And for the people that's tripping over the president, I feel exactly the same way. You know what I'm saying? Don't let something nationally affect you locally when I'm talking about losing some of your friends, especially some of the people that come through your hardships. So, Mr. John Coker Jr., I want to say thank you for being on my show. And I want to say, man, please stay strong. And there's people still like me that still look up to you and still respect you for the most depth, man. You feel me?
I feel you, man. Appreciate that. Love you too, Pete.
Already, man. You have a good evening, man. Be careful. Kiss your princess for me, man, and y'all be safe, all right?
Definitely. You do the same, bro. Take it easy.
Already. You too.
All right. Bye.
Already, man. That was John Coker Jr. right there. Like I said, man, we're from the same hood right there out of Muskogee, Oklahoma. And he went on to do great things, recruited in football, recruited in baseball, got drafted out of high school, ended up going to Seminole Junior College, went to Louisiana Lafayette, raising Cajuns, where they're one of the best teams his senior year, went on to the Army, became a sergeant, got deployed over to Afghanistan, and it was actually nine of those, it was nine soldiers whenever they were attacked, five was shot, three was killed, and I'm so glad that he was one of those guys that survived that firefight. And and he was protecting our country. And I just want to say thank you to him. Thank you for listening out there. Do what you love and love what you do. Life is about making your dreams come true. And like I just said while he was on the phone, don't let something that's happening nationally affect you locally to where you lose some of your close friends to some of the ones that helped you out of the trenches. Because I know sometimes you play sports, and nowadays you didn't know your teammates was a Trump supporter or they thought this and that. I know how that is, but you know that's still that same person that helped you out of that bond, or you helped them out of that bond. But now you guys are living life, and you guys are separated, and you guys have your own families. But now you see, and you guys might have different views, but at the end of the day, you knew one thing while y'all was playing that sport. He had your back, and well, she still have your back. But now that's why it's time to have a conversation about things, about what you think, how you think, and why he think how he think, because you guys both had a different mindset while you when it, coming into that college or playing to that sport, but you guys came together while you were there, and you guys had formed a brotherhood. But now it's time to teach your kids the same thing. But now it's time for you guys to have a conversation to why people still think that way, you know what I'm saying, or why you still think this way. So it's just a healthy conversation, and hopefully people can come to an agreement at the end of the day and keep everything peaceful, keep everything love, you know what I mean? But you got to stand for something or fall for anything. And just like I just said, do what you love and love what you do. Life is about making your dreams come true. Shout out to you guys, man. I love y'all. I love y'all. And remember, be yourself, stay true to yourself, because everybody else is taken. Word on the street, right? Thank God for tuning in. So every day with your boy, PDP. I'm out. Peace.